once. And how you live that life, is going to be defined by what you believe. So whether you believe in grace, or cookies, or facial hair, how you live will proclaim to the world what you believe. And that's really typified in the pop culture phenomenon that is called YOLO. We've talked a good bit about YOLO for the past couple weeks, and I thought maybe I'd spend a little bit of time this morning discussing and explaining what YOLO is, where it came from, why it has hit such a chord in our culture. So let's just get in, settle in. I know it's bright and early, but you're all ready for a history lesson, aren't you? Yes, Pastor Richard, we love history at 8 o'clock in the morning. Nothing wakes us up more. We're eager. Okay, YOLO is an acronym for You Only Live Once. It's similar to Carpe Diem. It implies that one should enjoy life even if it entails taking risks. If you've not seen Dead Poets Society, anybody in here seen Dead Poets Society? I have. All right, y'all know what Carpe Diem is, don't you? Yeah. Carpe Diem is a Latin aphorism. It usually translates to seize the day. It's taken from a poem in the Book of Odes, Book 1, Number 11, written in 23 B.C. by the poet Horace. And the quote in which it's stated goes as follows. Don't ask what end the gods have given me or you, Lucno. Greek names, what can you do with them? Don't play with Babylonian numerology either. How much better it is to endure whatever will be. Whether Jupiter has allotted you many more winters, or this one which now wears out the Tyrrhenian Sea on the opposing rocks is the final one. Be wise, be truthful, strain the wine. Scale back your long hopes to a short period. While we speak, envious time will have already fled. Seize the day, trusting as little as possible in tomorrow. For many of us, the first person we ever heard utter the phrase, you only live once. Curious. I'm going to take a risk here. Can anybody guess who I'm thinking of? Who is the first person that we would think of when we think you only live once? Who? James Bond. A little older than that. She's blonde. She had quite a reputation. No, not Marilyn Monroe, even a little older than that. Mae West. Yes, Mae West. Her quote was, "You only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough." Yeah, Mae West. Her and W.C. Fields were amazing. That sort of sums it up. If you do it right, you only need once. More recently, the phrase, you only live once, which became what we're now calling YOLO, was appropriated and used by the Canadian rapper Drake in his song, The Motto. Now, before I go any farther, a word of warning. Do not look up The Motto. Do not read the lyrics to The Motto. Do not waste any time with the song. It's a bad song. It has bad words in it. Just don't go there. But for some reason, young people thought, whoa, this dude is on to something. So YOLO gained popularity and briefly, for a period of about 6 months, became a catchphrase for millennials. Since then, YOLO has devolved from the battle cry of a generation into something more akin to a joke. It's the eye-rolling excuse that a person uses when they do something really dumb. As a matter of fact, the Urban Dictionary defines YOLO as follows: an abbreviation for you only live once, or the idiot's excuse for something stupid that he did. For example, dude, I totally broke both my legs trying to jump over an oncoming car doing 60 miles an hour, but YOLO. The Urban Dictionary further declares that YOLO is, and I quote, one of the most annoying abbreviations ever. As a matter of fact, the phrase has become so reviled in pop culture that Drake in 2014 appeared on Saturday Night Live to formally apologize to the American people for introducing the phrase into the pop culture. However, YOLO still has a great deal of bearing on the way we all live our lives. Whether we like the phrase or not, the philosophy underpins the way a lot of us live. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, how does your approach to YOLO proclaim what you believe to the world? And I'm just going to briefly look at three different approaches to YOLO from a biblical point of view and a worldly point of view. Like I said, the phrase YOLO has lost cred with today's culture, but the influence is still there. And I would challenge you to turn on your TV and turn on programming that's geared more towards the millennials. That's the 20 and 30-somethings. It could be something on the WB or Fox. It might be the X Games. Something geared towards the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds. And then look at the commercials. And you will see YOLO portrayed over and over and over again. You will see high-risk behavior in the commercials. You will see people trying to suck the marrow out of the bones of life. You will hear catchphrases like, life's short, live hard. Or, you deserve the best that life has to offer. Make every day count. YOLO. These statements convey to the world a belief that life is short and fleeting, and your goal is to get the most out of it while you're here on this world. And at first impression, that may seem to be a shocking take on life, but you know, that take has been around for a long time, hasn't it? I mean, case in point, I just quoted a poem that's over 2,000 years old that totally encapsulated the concept of YOLO. But if 23 BC is not old enough for you, if Horace's poem is not example enough for you, let's turn to the Holy Scriptures. Let's take a look at Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you can pull them out in your Bible and look it up, and we'll have it up here on the screen too. Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good, but also prove to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness, and what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks, and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers, and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor. And this was the reward for all my toil. In his search for meaning, the writer of this scripture, and we presume it was Solomon, embraced the underlying principle of YOLO. You only live once. He embraced it to its fullest. He lived life large. He denied himself absolutely nothing, and he indulged in every pleasure and whim that he could think of. And in the end, what did it get him? Well, let's take a look at verse 11 and see what it got him. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. The chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. This probably is the most perfect example of YOLO as it's defined by today's generation. It's the path to cynicism, to be perfectly honest with you. Extreme indulgence produces diminishing returns. And ultimately, extreme indulgence produces extreme behavior because the thrill that you got last week doesn't give you the same thrill this week. The thing that you did to bring you that thrill is just not there anymore. So you have to take it another step up. And eventually this behavior becomes self-destructive. In a lot of ways, this is addictive behavior. Trying to get the next high, trying to get the next thrill, trying to get to the next peak, trying to keep that YOLO in your life. And when you're doing this, what you're saying is, what you're proclaiming to the world that you believe is, life's short, live fast, leave a good-looking corpse. You know, because nothing else really matters. You know, and it's a self-destructive, nihilistic, cynical way to live, ultimately. It will tear you down. I imagine there's a lot of extreme athletes out there in body casts and traction and whatnot who are like, I wish I'd never heard the term YOLO. You know, I wish I could have slowed it down a little bit. It is, as Solomon stated at the very end, a chasing after the wind. Futile, pointless, and you can never catch it. Which, by the way, is the definition of addiction. If you ever really go into it, chasing after the wind is what a heroin addict will tell you is exactly what addiction is like. But that's not the only way to look at YOLO. There's another way. Actually, I'm going to present two other ways. But here's another way to look at YOLO. You only live once. But this time it's a little different. This view has been defined by aging baby boomers who were traumatized by the Great Recession and from which they're still recovering. The best way to find out this definition of YOLO is to turn on your TV once again, but instead of looking for programming for millennials, turn on some programming that's geared towards middle-aged and older people. And check out the commercials. I would recommend watching some golf this afternoon. You'll see the commercials there. Or I would recommend watching CNN or CNBC or Fox Business. Anything where people are thinking about money, thinking about their future. Any programming that's directed to anybody who has any sorts of financial means. And watch the commercials. And what you will see are two things predominantly. First, the commercials will be medical commercials. And they'll be all about, how do you extend this short life that you have? How do you keep living, you know? And we have this drug that, in spite of all the horrible side effects that could possibly kill you and cause you dry mouth, we really recommend you take because it'll help you live a little bit farther. And the other commercials that you see on these shows are, now that we've got you living life longer, are you going to have enough money to live that long life? Is your pot of money big enough? What are some of the catchphrases they've got out there? I don't remember them now, but, you know, the Prudential and MetLife and all the other ones are out there. You need to be saving now. You need to be squirreling away now. You know, life is going to be long. You have 26 years of life and only 16 years of earnings. Oh, my gosh, what's going to happen to you? So there's this constant drumbeat of live cautious, live small, squirrel things away. This lifestyle is defined by caution and prudence. It's defined by saving for the rainy day. It's defined by leaving nothing to chance and trusting nothing. Now, this is going to be an interesting segue. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with this gentleman, but Andy Samberg. Anybody know Andy Samberg? All right, the Andersons know Andy Samberg. He was on Saturday Night Live until about a year ago, and He interpreted this YOLO as not you only live once, but his definition of it was you ought to look out. And he decided he was going to write a song about his interpretation of YOLO. So I want to throw a few verses up here and just read them to you, because I think Andy Samberg caught the zeitgeist of this new YOLO. You only live once, that's the motto, so take a chill pill, ease off the throttle. Never go to loud clubs because it's bad for your ears. Your friends will be all sorry when they can't hear. And stay away from drugs because they're not legal. Then bury all your money in the backyard like a beagle. Because you should never trust a bank. They've been known to fail. And never travel by car, a bus, boat, or by rail. And don't travel by plane and don't travel at all. Build a bomb shelter basement with titanium walls. And wear titanium suits in case pianos fall on you. And never go to saunas because they're crawling with piranhas. I don't know where the piranhas come from. And never take the stairs because they're often unsafe. You only live once. Don't let it go to waste. Some of us can relate to that, can't we? My mother can, that's for sure. I think that's exactly what she told me every time I went out the door when I was 9 years old. You know, watch out for things. Watch out for cars. Look both ways before you cross the street. Good advice, but after several thousand times, I kind of knew it, Mom. This mindset has really taken hold in our culture. Be safe. Be cautious. Don't take chances. you ought to look out. Everybody's out to get you. Once again, at first glance, this mindset might seem a little shocking, but it's not that new. And all you have to do, really, to find it is go back to Scripture again. I'd ask you to look at Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 19. Luke 12, verses 16 through 19. And then Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Man working hard, saving hard, squirreling away money in his 401k, diversifying his portfolio, you know, maximizing his contributions as he gets a little older, doing everything we're told to do financially. But let's see how this worked out for him. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be. Whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. This is the path of quiet desperation. This is the path of control. This is the path that leads you down a battle and into a fight you cannot win. The irony of this approach to life really is when you start taking all the stuff that helps you live and squirreling it away, you stop living. Or at the very best, you just live for another day. And Jesus and God are very clear. Only this day is promised. You live in today, not tomorrow. I don't want to be accused of saying, don't save money. Don't be prudent. But a lifestyle committed to prudence, committed to caution, is not really that much of a lifestyle. It's not a life I feel worth living, because you're always living anticipating the worst. You're always living expecting the worst thing to happen, and you're always preparing for the worst. That's just not a way I choose to live or want to live, and I don't think that's the way Christ wants us to live. So, if living a life of reckless abandon, trying to make every day count, is not the way Christ wants us to live, if living a life of prudent caution, making sure that we have enough squirreled away for a rainy day, is not the way Christ wants us to live, what does YOLO in Christ look like? Well, if you firmly believe in Christ and Jesus, and if your life is defined by his teachings, the third way to view YOLO is a way some of my youth came up with. And we don't have a slide for this, because I just sort of came up with this late last night as I was going through some of the notes my kids had given me in Wednesday night youth group, because we talked about this. But they decided that YOLO in Christ would be defined this way. You ought to love others. You ought to love others. YOLO. This is a YOLO defined by a life in service to others. This is a YOLO framed on the belief that you may only live once, but in Jesus Christ, that once is forever. This is a YOLO based on the example, love, and teachings of Jesus Christ. And to be perfectly honest with you, it's difficult to find a pop culture reference for this type of YOLO that reflects this belief system. In order to find something that sort of reflects what this kind of belief looks like, you have to go straight to Scripture. And I can think of no better example in Scripture than Romans 8, 31 through 39. Romans 8, 31 through 39. I want to get this right. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to the life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get a YOLO? Make it a little louder here, guys. Can I get a YOLO? YOLO. Yeah. We're gonna trade out amen for YOLO. We're going to be that Baptist church that everybody talks about. They say YOLO instead of amen. I think it's a cult. That's YOLO in Christ. That's fearlessness in Christ. That's trust in Christ. We are more than conquerors in Christ. That is a life defined by living for others and not worrying about self, convinced that God will take care of us. That is a life defined by the willingness to do whatever it takes to share that love with somebody else. That is a life of confidence. That is life in the Spirit, through the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. And that is a life worth living. Not a life of risk-taking for the sake of risk-taking. Not a life of caution, hoping to live another day. But a life that says, today may be the only day I have, and I'm going to live it for Jesus, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. What a way to live. What a way to go. And if you believe that, YOLO is going to mean amazing things to people around you. And just the thought, we talked about this in youth group too, just the thought that, yeah, you may only live once, but once is forever. Once in Christ never stops. Once is all it takes. What do you have to lose in Christ? Absolutely nothing. You've been bought for, paid for. You have been ransomed. God has your back. You only live once, so live it for the one who gave it to you. Live it for the one who gave you life. Live it for the one who gave you meaning. Live it for the one who gave you eternal life. And live it for everybody else in this world who needs to know about it. You only live once. YOLO. Come to the point in the sermon. Now I'm just going to ask Chip to come on back up. He was in the sound booth. I know he's somewhere around here somewhere. But we're getting to the point in the sermon where we do our invitation. And this morning, what I'd like to challenge you to do is just think about how you're living your life, what YOLO in your life looks like. If somebody were to look at your life and say, their beliefs reflect a YOLO that says, hey, I'm living for today. Or would somebody look at your life and see a YOLO that says, you ought to look out. Life is scary. Be safe. Or would somebody look at your life and say, man, they're living it for others. There's something special there that just makes no sense. I don't see commercials about the way they act. What way are you living your life? I'd like to invite you, if you want your life to begin reflecting a life in Christ, the first thing you have to do is believe in Christ, accept Christ, come forward and proclaim him as your Savior. And then you have to start asking the Holy Spirit to work a new work in you so that you can live a life of belief that yells Jesus Christ. Today, as we come into our time of commitment, I just want to ask you to ask yourself, what do I believe? And how is that belief reflected to the world? Let's take a moment and pray. Father, I thank you for just giving us this one life. But I thank you for making the necessary arrangements that this life can last forever. Thank you for giving us the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived a short life here on earth, but a short life that changed the world. And even more importantly, a life that began anew because he was resurrected. I thank you for the courage that Jesus gives us. I thank you for the strength he gives us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father. And I ask, Father, that in our church, let us be a guiding example of, yeah, you only live once, but once in Christ is more than enough. Father, help us to be a beacon of that to our community. And it's through the power and name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We're now going to do